Here's what's coming up on today's show.
There's really no shortage for people who like it the old ways. And then there's, you know, folks out there that are, you know, want to be really efficient with their time and will gravitate more towards more of a virtual type of setup.
Welcome to the All Things Retirement Podcast with certified financial planner, Anthony Alfo. Here's your host, Ben George.
Well, hello and welcome into All Things Retirement. I am Ben George alongside Anthony Alfo, who is a certified financial planner and the founder of Cardinal Wealth Group. And we got a good show for you today. It is June, which means it is Effective Communications Month. Were you aware of that?
I actually was not, but certainly effective communication with clients or your spouse or children is something that is probably one of the most important things, right, at the end of the day that we all could maybe be a little bit better at. And so looking forward to speaking more about this topic.
Yeah, it's a fitting theme for the month because you're right. I mean, pretty much any aspect of life, if there's a relationship involved, communication is usually the answer to most of the problems. So we will talk through that today here on the podcast. And if you have anything on your mind, you can always follow up via the website, cardinalwg.com. You'll find plenty of resources there, downloadable materials. Anthony's done a really good job of filling out that website with a lot of things that can help you out in your financial journey. But again, get your free assessment and start your Cardinal success journey today by visiting cardinalwg.com. How's everything else in the office?
Yeah, everything's going pretty good. We're actually going to start our tax analysis now that all our clients have pretty much received all their tax returns that from the previous year. And typically what we do is we take that tax return and doing an analysis for them to kind of see if there's anything that we can do this year to, you know, reduce their tax bill or also in the future with some different tax planning techniques. So that's kind of what we do for right now. And looking forward to working on that aspect of their plan starting now.
And then Rosie's fourth birthday's coming up here soon.
Oh yeah, you got a great memory. Yeah, that. Yep. So we're actually doing a Christmas in June theme.
Okay.
So I never really thought. I think, you know, there's like Christmas in July or something like right. that. But yeah. So we got Santa Claus coming. I guess, you know, dressing up and theme with her birthday being Christmas in June. So that'll be towards the end of the month, and looking forward to that and all the kids dressed up, and should be a fun time.
Was that her idea?
My wife's idea. Oh,
I was gonna
yes.
say, was that Rosie's idea?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, well, no, that'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure the kids will love that. I mean, who doesn't love Christmas and having a second opportunity to celebrate and have some fun? That'll be a blast, I'm sure. And that means you're dressing up as Santa, right?
No, we're going to have somebody come in and do that. But it's not cheap. For Santa to come for like an hour and a half, it was like $300.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
Yeah. But, you know, it's all for the kids, Ben.
That's all that matters,
it's
right?
It's not about
all
me. Matters.
Well, let's jump into our conversation today on effective communication and the importance of that when it comes to what you do every day and in the work that you do with clients and prospects that you meet with on a consistent basis. So I just want to start off with communication. And we said this already, that it's kind of the basis of every relationship. But how important is it, you know, put in perspective for what you do every day with that advisor-client relationship?
I mean, this is a great topic, and I would say any of the best or good advisors out there, you really got to be thinking about this on a somewhat regular basis on how we communicate best to everyone, reaching them on a personal level, being somewhat efficient with it when you have 50, 100, 200 households that you're serving. And with today, with all the different technology out there and the different communication mediums, I mean, there's no shortage. And I don't know that if the average client is thinking about how much an advisor might be thinking about it, but it's certainly something that we spend a lot of time about, continue to tweak every year to make sure that we're communicating effectively and that we're really helping to meet their expectations and also being able to communicate in a way that we're conveying some of these complex messages clearly and concisely so that they know exactly, you know, what's at stake, what actions that they should ultimately be taking. So, you know, it's definitely one of the most important things that we're doing here for sure.
Let's dive into that a little bit deeper then. So I want to start with kind of the different methods now, because things have changed so much just in the last few years. I mean, pretty much everything you did, I guess, was face-to-face or, you know, out in seminars or whatever you're putting on. But so much of that shifted in 2020 to having to operate online. And how much different is it for you to communicate that way, those two different ways?
Oh, my gosh. Well, if I just – I mean, this is like my 17th year as an advisor. So, I mean, thinking about what it was like back in the day, I would meet everybody either at their office at work or go to their house. And, I mean, wearing a suit every day and packing my car with a big mail bin with brown accordion files and – 3-ring binders for their financial plans. Sometimes I'd have 2 mail bins for one day, lugging these things into my car and then back up the steps at, you know, at the office. And I mean, completely different. And then, you know, over time, you know, that's dramatically changed. I mean, so if we want to just jump ahead to COVID, you know, obviously it had society going completely virtual. So it's completely changed. And, you know, today what we have is either an offering for people to come into our office or to do it virtual. And I can tell you that about 80% are kind of sticking with the virtual aspect, or maybe virtual for like 80% of the meetings. And then, you know, might just come into the office once a year instead. So totally changed. And there's obviously advisors kind of all over the map with this. You know, I have a lot of friends that are advisors, and I still have some that are still right back to going to their office and driving to them. And I have other folks that have, you know, kind of gone more the future tech route of more virtual. And then obviously there's everything in between that. So, you know, there's certainly no shortages for clients to find the advisor that meets their type of, let's say, meeting type, because that's kind of like there's the way to communicate, and there's like the meeting types, right? So doing it face to face versus virtual. There's advisors who are sending just videos to clients and saying, "Hey, I just reviewed your portfolio," and they're giving a 2-minute video. It's like one way communication. So I mean, there's really no shortage for people who like it the old ways. And then there's, you know, folks out there that are, you know, want to be really efficient with their time and will gravitate more towards more of a virtual type of setup.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of all personal preference. And right, that's kind of what you have to figure out with a lot of people that you work with, everybody you work with, right? And that's a big part of communicating effectively, is understanding not only preferences, but I guess personalities as well, because everybody communicates differently.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, the advisor has a lot of options there too. I mean, there's advisors that are quiet and are actually don't love, let's say, communicating. And there's ones that enjoy being face-to-face and shooting videos and sending text messages. And where, you know, we still write handwritten letters. I still write a handwritten letter to our clients thanking them. And I do videos where we send different financial topics to our clients about different things that are going on. Certainly doing some text messages to check on people and emails as well on some of those different topics. So we kind of use everything that's, I think, available to us. And, you know, for us, it's really about what fits good for me, like what's a good fit for me as an advisor to communicate. And then also thinking about our, we'll say, general or average client. I think it can be hard to maybe, like, if you're not somebody who's gonna do videos, and if you have clients there that are gonna like videos, I don't know if it's really a fit, because you're not gonna really be that comfortable. You're probably not really gonna want to execute on that. So for me, it's more of a blend of everything, because I feel overall comfortable to do these things. So I think it's really more of a thing for the advisor to think about what they're comfortable with, and then also, you know, what's the commonality of what the clients would generally like. And, you know, certainly if you can meet some clients on a more personal level on one-off, great. And for other advisors, they might not be willing to really budge.
talk about effective communication. It is Effective Communication Month here in June, so it's very fitting to discuss this in this setting with Anthony and his clients at Cardinal Wealth Group. You know, when I think about communication and trying to deliver your message in an effective manner, it's got to be challenging in this arena because a lot of times you're trying to boil down, you know, topics that are complicated or topics that people just aren't familiar with money and investing, and trying to lay them out in a way that someone understands. Because I know your goal is to have someone that not only has a financial plan that fits them, but understands what they're invested in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of these things that we're talking about are pretty complex, and you can lose people in the weeds if you keep it too complex. So you kind of have to balance of, you know, trying to bring it down to their level of understanding, and but while not watering it down too much so that they're not missing some of the more important components of it. And, you know, I think, you know, being honest with yourself and then just even upfront and honest with the clients in terms of, you know, what they can expect from you from a communications standpoint and frequency standpoint is important to let them know so that they're making sure that their expectations are going to be met. But for us, we're when we're getting into like the meeting part of it, of talking with people, there are going to, we start to kind of better understand our clients, you know, over time, and we'll have some of those upfront conversations to understand how they actually learn. So, you know, we have some clients that are going to be more into getting bigger reports, spreadsheets to really dissect the pros and cons between different scenarios. And they'll take that information, they'll take it home, they'll study it, and they'll come back with questions. And then we have other clients who are going to like throw up at the thought of getting a spreadsheet. And that might be somebody that is more of a visual learner. We'll draw stuff on our whiteboard in our office and keep it more bullet point type of a process. So I think it's really just understanding, you know, what's the best way that somebody can take in information, and then trying to work with them to meet them on that level. And then on the other side of it is just really not overwhelming them or underwhelming them. So I think if we're ever bringing information to them, let's make sure that it's effective, concise, and relevant. And we're not like wasting people's time, because all the information is really out there for like in the universe, and Google, like you can Google anything, and you have, you know, Chat GPT today, where you can get a lot of information. It might not all be relevant to you. And that's, I think, where the advisor comes in, that can, you know, bring that information, say, this is what's relevant to you, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And we're going to save you the time and energy to really figure out, you know, what actually applies to you. And then we're going to educate you on that and go through a process to help you understand what's really an important decision for you to make, and go over the pros and cons so you know what makes the most sense for you. You know, and I think just that's part of what one of the most important roles as an advisor, because I mean, you don't necessarily need an advisor to find information. It's out there. But just like I could remodel my own bathroom, right? That information, the how-to videos are out there. It's just, I don't want to do it. I just want somebody to kind of do it for me.
Well, maybe I could ask you this earlier, but when you talk about communication methods, what do you rely on most? Is it just conversation? Does email fall on that? I mean, what actually do you think constitutes communication when you're working with a client?
You know, that's a great question. And it's probably different from the minds from one client to another, right? So is our quarterly market analysis, does that constitute communication to a client? I think you could say, yeah, for some. And for others, they'd say, no, we didn't meet and talk about it. So, you know, I think it really comes down to talking to the clients ahead of time and saying, this is the way that we kind of, and how we communicate, how often, and the way that we go about it, you know, and kind of see if that's a good fit for them. I mean, we're doing a lot of kind of everything, like in person or main financial planning meetings, right? And then we're doing market updates, or we're sending communication on some changes with the law, like the Secure Act 2.0. We're selling sending videos on different complex topics just to make them aware. And I think part of communication in terms of like email and videos, to me, I don't necessarily count them as like our like day to day, like what we're really doing. I think they're really just, hey, we're on top of this stuff. We want to make you aware that we're on top of it. We want to let you know kind of what's going on. And if this is something that resonates with you, go ahead and schedule a call with us or a meeting, and we can talk more about it with you. If it's something that's truly important, that's really evident to affect the client there, you know, I think to me that really kind of comes back into needing to be done through kind of a meeting with them to talk about how it specifically affects them and not as broadly. So we kind of use the newsletter, emails, videos, and stuff like that more as a generalized topic of education to kind of let people know that we're on top of these things, that we're handling it for them, to continue to educate them. And, you know, I would say it is communication, but not as specific as what's it doing for me?
Well, I know a lot of people just kind of want to know before they get into that relationship with an advisor, just kind of what should I expect in terms of communication? I mean, should it be something where my advisor is reaching out to me, you know, every few months? Is it something where I should be the one initiating conversation? What do you think that back and forth looks like once a client comes on board?
Yeah, I mean, again, there's like everything you said. Like, I know there's advisors that say, hey, we're here for you when you need us. Give us a holler. And there's other folks that are saying, you know, we're going to meet with you once a year, give you kind of an update. Otherwise, give us a holler. And there's other, you know, advisors that are doing monthly, quarterly stuff. So I could tell you what we're doing here. Basically, when somebody comes on board as a client, what we're doing is in the first quarter of the year, we're having our main kind of financial overview. If they've been a client for some time, we're updating their projections off of their financial goals. We're looking back over the last, 4, 5, 6 months of all the things that we talked about doing from the previous meeting. What did we get done? What wasn't accomplished? So for example, let's just say that the client wanted to get their estate plan done. And this was back in November of last year. And we helped them basically outline their estate plan. And the next steps, we got them over to some of the attorneys that we use and, you know, put them in touch with them. The next steps are really for them to kind of get it across the finish line. And, you know, maybe life just got in the way, or maybe they got it done. But it's those types of things that if they didn't get it done, we'll say, okay, well, do we want to add that onto the list and prioritize it? So our kind of first quarter meeting is really more about updating everything, looking back at what we didn't get done, and then prioritizing what we want to actually accomplish this year. We might not get a lot of action things done in that meeting. It's more of like a huddle up and get organized and saying, what do we want to get done? And then from there, when we're leaving that meeting, we'll identify, okay, we'll keep going with the estate planning topic and say, we want to get this done. We've been holding it off, you know, too long. We've been letting life get in the way. And we'll set up what we kind of call a mini sprint meeting, where it's just a hyper-focused meeting just to get this thing done. And they'll either come in, or it'll be virtual, or we'll have to jump on a three-way call with the attorney to get their estate plan done between now and when we meet next. And so that we can look back and say, wow, we got something done, right? Or maybe we're scheduling a call or a meeting to, you know, reallocate their 401k at work and making sure that we get that change done. So that those are kind of some of what we call our mini sprints. And they're typically 20, 30 minute meetings to actually get it done. You know, sometimes it take longer, but that's kind of what we do from that kind of first meeting. And then what we typically do is in June-ish, we're going to look at their tax return. So in that first quarter meeting, we ask them to send us their tax return once it's completed. And if they don't, we'll, you know, kind of nudge them to send it over to us, and we'll analyze their taxes, and we'll send them a report once we've completed it on some recommendations on what we can do this year or in future years or later on this year from a tax strategy. Sometimes that results in meetings. So we have clients that maybe jumped up some tax brackets because they got some raises at work. And we say, you know what, maybe we should change your Roth 401k contributions over to the pre-tax, given that you jumped up a tax bracket now. And we would schedule a meeting right there because that's kind of a red flag to us. Whereas other clients, maybe that are retired, not a lot has changed, but we want to do some Roth conversions with them. We typically do that in the third quarter, typically, because we have a little bit more information and can be more specific with the right Roth conversion amount. So that June type of analysis could result in another meeting at that time if there's something that we need to try to change like right now. Or it's kind of like, hey, hang on to this. We're going to talk more about it at our next call. And that kind of brings us to our kind of next meeting, which would be sending out meeting requests in September, right after Labor Day. And we're typically, knocking them out between the end of September through October and try to get everything done by Thanksgiving. So we're not really having to rush with year-end tax planning stuff. But that meeting that we're having in like the third, fourth quarter with our clients is another financial broad meeting to say, did we get what we wanted accomplished that we set out to do from our first quarter meeting? What do we need to do to get these certain things across the finish line? We're certainly, still going over their retirement or projections or goals or their tax analysis or investments and stuff like that. We kind of set an agenda and we make sure that there's anything that's pressing to them, we talk about that right then and there. So we kind of use those bookend meetings to kind of stay on top of stuff, keep communication active, and then, set agendas in terms of priority as to what we want to accomplish. And really in between all those meetings, we kind of say, if there's any impromptus that you need, reach out to us. And if there's anything that we need to talk about, we'll reach out to you. So when markets are going sideways or new laws change, like the Secure Act 2.0, we're going to reach out, whether that's through video, email, or phone calls, just to let them know, educate them on it. If it's something that we know it's very specific to them, we're going to say, hey, let's set up a call. I think this is something that we should talk about now. And in other cases, it's one-way communication just to say, here's what's going on. If you want to talk more about it, let us know, or we can talk about it at our next upcoming meeting. So that's kind of how we go about it overall. And most of those meetings are a combination of either virtual or in our office, depending on the preference of the client.
Outstanding. Well, it's a little look at
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, but that's why it's effective, right? It's thorough. And this podcast is a way that you communicate too with people as well. So we appreciate you being a part of it. And if you have questions for Anthony, as always, encourage you to reach out, give him a call at 609-362-5512 or online at cardinalwg.com. A couple of questions I want to get to with you before we close out this episode of the podcast. Again, you can always send those in via the website if you have something on your mind you'd like us to address. But Mel has this one for us. I've been trying to pay off my house early so I don't have a mortgage when I retire later this year. But at this point, it looks like I'll still have payments for another 10 to 12 months after retirement. Should I just keep working until that's paid off?
Yeah, Mel, that's a good question. I think that, it's not uncommon for folks today to have a mortgage in retirement. I think it's really more about, can your financial plan support it? 12 months is not a long time. We have clients that are going to be paying a mortgage for 12 years. So it really just comes down to, does it make sense to try to pay that off before retirement? What's the benefits of, doing that versus kind of having that as one of our budgetary expense items? And so from your standpoint, I would just kind of look at it from a financial planning, what's a trade-off from a financial standpoint, but then what's a trade-off emotionally for, working another 10 to 12 months? You could be burnt out and ready to really call it quits. And if your financial plan can support you retiring now versus working another year, then, you have the options there that's really up to you. It's a preference item at that point. Or maybe it's more of maybe I'll do some part-time work just to make a little bit of money, 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week, just to help out for that year or maybe 18 months or something like that to get it paid off, and then going into full retirement. So I kind of go back to more of the financial planning process to kind of look at, see what the financial impacts are there, and then emotional toll on you working longer.
Very good. Thank you for that question, Mel. We have one more for Laura, and very fitting on this effective communication episode. She asks, I like my financial advisor, but he's hard to get in touch with. I rarely get phone calls returned, and I wonder if my account is too small for him to worry about. I have about $350,000 with him, and I believe most of his accounts are a million or more. Is this a common problem?
You know, it's not uncommon for advisors to grow and hit capacity limits and or become overworked and start to forget about some. I mean, you know, I think that that's just a part of some practices and their growths and not really thinking about the other people, you know, in terms of meeting the service part of clients. And the number one reason why people jump to a different advisor is not really because of the returns of their investments, but because they haven't heard from their advisor recently. So, you know, understanding that he or she is a nice person, but, you know, meeting your communication expectations is really important. These are your finances and your whatever you have is important to you. So, you know, I think it's really more about having a conversation with them and just kind of flat out asking them, like, you know, is this the way that you typically communicate, or are we not really as much of a fit anymore? I think just having that type of open dialogue, and maybe while you're at it, you know, think about interviewing with others and seeing, you know, what their communication levels are, and you might gravitate more to somebody else that is communicating more effectively to you and how you want that versus how your current advisor is doing. And you know, and then certainly making sure that anybody new that you might be looking at, making sure that your financial net worth or liquid net worth is a good fit for them, so you're not running into the same issue potentially with somebody new.
All right. Very good question. And we appreciate that. And I'm glad you asked that. Perfect timing for this episode and a good way to wrap up today's conversation on effective communication. So Anthony will do just that. Thank you for your time today. And again, if you have questions and you want to follow up with Anthony, everything can be found online at cardinalwg.com. Educational videos, downloadable materials, and then you get your free assessment and start that Cardinal success journey today. Anthony, as always, we appreciate your time. Good luck with Christmas in June. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.